Hello everyone, and welcome to a brand new podcast called F1 Lights Out. I'm your host Michael Lang, and I'll be taking you through the 2018 season, race by race, looking at the Formula One season as it progresses. I'm an avid fan of Formula One, have been for probably about 30 years now. I was lucky enough to go to the Belgium Grand Prix back in 1993, I think it was. I was there with my dad as a part of the Benetton team, as he worked for Ford at the time. I was lucky enough to see the likes of Michael Schumacher, Nigel Mansell, Ayrton Senna at that race. And that was really my first proper experience with the sport, and I've been following it ever since, and even before then. So I thought it would be a good idea to just share my experiences of the season ahead, watching each race, watching qualifying, how the drivers fare, how the teams fare. It's been somewhat of a not boring past couple of seasons, but it's been quite predictable. Mercedes, of course, winning all of the titles. I think it's four titles in a row now for them, and Red Bull before them. So there has been that almost stagnant feel to Formula One, where really haven't been many teams challenging those the likes of Mercedes. And I'm kind of hopeful that this year there might be more of a competition. At the early stages, it's looking like it could be a three-horse race between Mercedes, Ferrari and the Red Bull. But I'm hopeful that some of the likes maybe of Williams, McLaren, if they can get their act together, which is unlikely, but you never know. Force India, of course, just to see if we can, you know, just bring the teams closer together a bit. So I'll be today looking at some of the changes for the 2018 season in terms of the cars. I'll be looking at the teams and the drivers of those teams for the upcoming year, and also the calendar for the year, as we are now only a week away from the Australian Grand Prix from Melbourne as we kick the season off. So we'll start off by looking at some of the changes to the cars and to the regulations. There haven't been many changes this year. Of course, last year was a big overhaul in terms of technical regulations, but this year there will be two quite significant visible changes to the cars. But there's actually not too much in the way of chopping and changing for this season. So let's have a quick look at what has changed. We'll start with the technical regulations. So the first is the removal of the T-wings and the shark fins. Now, you'll probably remember, if you followed the 2017 season, that the cars had a shark-like fin at the back of their car, with what looked like a coat hanger off the end of it. Now, this has now been removed. Now, the reason that these emerged was a bit of a loophole in the design regulations for last season, and it allowed the teams to build these shark fins and T-wings in a gap that wasn't picked up by the regulatory body. Well, that's now been taken away. So what we'll see now is the cars have what looks more like a 45 degree angle of a chunk taken out of the fin at the back. So we've got rid of the long shark fin and the T-wings now. So back to more of a familiar look to the cars. And I didn't have a problem with these, but I think when you had the rear-facing cameras on the cars and you had that T-wing, it didn't look great. And, you know, I'm glad that they're gone. So we'll see if how it affects the car's performances going forward. The other big, massive change in Formula One this year is, of course, the introduction of the halo. Whether you love it, whether you hate it, it is a talking point and will be, I think, especially at the first race. I'm not a fan. I've said this before. I've said, you know, these are their best racing drivers in the world. They know what they've signed up for. Yes, there's going to be danger. I have nothing against driver safety. However, I think that the look of the halo is not good. I think it obscures the viewer's view of the drivers and their helmets and trying to identify which driver is which. It'll be interesting to see whether or not the cameras above the driver's head are any way obscured by the halo. But it is here. It's here to stay, and we've got to get used to it. It'll be interesting also to see when the first, if a big crash happens and a driver needs to get out in an emergency, how easily they will be able to do that. Of course, we remember Alonso's crash at the start of the 2016 season in Melbourne, I think it was, where his car flipped over and buried up against the wall, and he was able to squeeze out. Now, whether he would be able to do that with the halo there remains to be seen. So, for me, I don't like the look of them, but they are here to stay. I think we'll get used to them as we do with all changes to the cars in Formula One. So, I'm sure after the first couple of races in the season, we won't even notice them anymore. So, they're there. Discuss if you wish what your thoughts are on them, but there's no getting around it now. The other less noticeable change to the cars is the outlawing of trick suspension. Now, apparently in the 2017 season, teams including Red Bull and Ferrari tried to set up a small link in the front suspension connected to the upright, and this is believed to have allowed the car to change ride height during the lap, during the course of the lap, depending on their steering angle. Now, this, as the FIA has basically said, nope, we're not going to allow that now. So trick suspension, I wasn't even aware it was in there, but trick suspension is outlawed for the 2018 season. Now, in terms of the sporting regulations, again, there are three slight changes to take note. The first, and again, a bit of a controversial thing, is the reduction of the number of engines per season a team is allowed to use. Now, in the 2017 season, each driver was allowed four engines for the campaign. However, although this season is going to be longer in terms of the number of races, there's actually one less engine per car to be used. So they're only allowed to use three engines for the season before they start to rack up penalty points. I'm not a big fan of this. I think there should be more. I understand there needs to be a limit on the number of engines to try and bring the field together in terms of the vastness of money some of the higher up teams have compared to the teams at the back of the grid. There can't be just a never-ending allowance of engines in a season, because the teams at the lower end of the grid wouldn't be able to afford them. But three engines, I think, is just, it's ridiculous. There's going to be so many penalty points. We know that there are reliability issues. We've seen McLarens in the past. We've seen Renaults in the past. And I think it detracts from the enjoyment of watching the races, having all of these penalty grid positions. I think there should be maybe financial punishments for teams if they need to use another engine. But I don't know whether, I personally don't feel that punishing the driver for the reliability of an engine in terms of grid positions, it is the right way to go about it. But then again, I suppose if you had financial penalties, you know, the likes of Mercedes and Ferrari, then that's not going to mean anything to them. Whereas, you know, financial penalties for the lower teams could be quite significant. So it's a tough one, how to regulate. But this is what they've come up with for the 2018 season. So only 3 engines per season. If there are more, then we'll go on to grid penalties. And grid penalties is another change that has happened to the 2018 season. Now, what has basically happened is whereas last season you had a lot of confusion as to people getting multiple grid penalties, where they would slot in, you know, you had people with tens and tens of grid penalties and it just looked ridiculous. So what they've done now is they've limited the number of grid places in terms of penalties a driver can get, so that any driver who earns a grid penalty of 15 places or more will have to start at the back of the grid. Now, if there's if there's more than one driver receiving such penalties, they will be arranged at the back of the grid in the order in which they changed elements. It should basically mean that there's less headaches for the fans and for the viewers as to where they place on the grid. So rather than having these where he gets X number of places, X number, as soon as you hit that 15, which is still, from my point of view, is still quite a lot. But as soon as you hit 15 grid penalties, 15 grid penalty places, that's it then. You can't go over that. It's just you're at the back of the grid, so see you later type of thing. And the last one is a wider range of tyre compounds for this season. As in the 2017 season, the F1 tyre suppliers Pirelli will make 3 dry weather compounds available to teams at each Grand Prix. So Pirelli get to select the dry weather compounds, but they've got a larger selection this year of compounds to choose from, which go from the pink marked Hypersoft up to the orange mark Super Hard. So the actual full range of the tyres available is the pink Hypersoft tyre, the purple Ultra Soft, the red Super Soft, the yellow Soft, the white Medium, the blue, which is a nice ice blue Hard tyre, and the orange Super Hard. Now, whereas the orange from last season, the hard tyre was orange, they've now made the hard tyre an ice blue, because of course you still have the blue wet tyre, so it needs to be a noticeable difference between that. And they've made the super hard tyre now the orange tyre. So those are the changes. We'll have to wait and see really how much significance they have on the racing. I think the limit on the engine, the number of engines in the season, I think that could have a big impact. And it'll be interesting to see how the teams fare when we start seeing engine changes during the season. Of course, reliability will be a huge thing to watch this year, especially with the changes to Toro Rosso and McLaren. McLaren now going with a Renault engine and Toro Rosso now going with a Honda engine. So it'll be very interesting to see where those two teams line up in terms of engine reliability, and also whether Red Bull can improve their reliability for their engines with Renault in the upcoming season. So that's your regulation changes. So let's have a quick look at the teams for this F1 season and the drivers in each team. Haven't been many changes. I think there's a couple of new additions to the grid in terms of drivers, so we'll go through them and see where they are. So you've got Mercedes, of course, which is still Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas. You've got Ferrari, which is Sebastian Vettel and Kimi Raikkonen. You've got Red Bull Racing, which is Daniel Ricciardo and Max Verstappen. They've now been joined with by Aston Martin. You'll see Aston Martin on their car, so that's a new partnership there. You've got Force India, of course, the pink livery of Force India, which is Sergio Perez and Esteban Ocon. You've got the Williams of Lance Stroll, and the new boy, Sergei Sirotkin, is a Russian. I hope I've pronounced his name correctly, so apologies if I haven't. You've got Renault, which is Nico Hülkenberg and Carlos Sainz. Toro Rosso, now of course powered by Honda, and they're Pierre Gasly and Brendan Hartley. You've got the Haas of Roman Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen. You've got the McLaren of Fernando Alonso and Stoffel Vandoorne. And you've got the Sauber, the Alfa Romeo Sauber, another partnership that's come back, which is Marcus Ericsson and the other new person, Charles Leclerc. So those are your teams for this season. Not much has changed in terms of the liveries. The Sauber's got Alfa Romeo down the back side of the car. Like I said, Red Bull has got a bit of Aston Martin work on it. The McLaren has now gone all orange for their livery, rather than they had a bit of a matte black and the orange. Now it's just an all orange car. Not a huge fan of it, but it stands out, I suppose. Not a huge, not a huge number of changes in terms of lineups this year. So it'll be interesting to see, of course, who comes out on top and everything. So we'll go to the actual Grand Prix calendar now, see where everything is in terms of the races. So the first race, of course, is coming up, and that's going to be in Melbourne, Australia. That's on the 25th of March, so that's literally a week today of recording this podcast. We then move down to Bahrain on the 8th of April, followed by China on the 15th of April. We then go to Azerbaijan on the 29th of April, and Spain on the 13th of May for the Barcelona Grand Prix. We then go to Monaco on the 27th of May, and then we hop over the Atlantic to Canada on the 10th of June. We then enter a 3 week in a row race weekend, well, set of race weekends, I should say, which is has never been done before in Formula One. So we were at France on the 24th of June, Austria on the 1st of July, and then the Great Britain Grand Prix at Silverstone on the 8th of July. We then go to Germany on the 22nd of July, Hungary on the 29th of July, Belgium on the 26th of August after the summer break, Italy on the 2nd of September, Singapore on the 16th of September, Russia on the 30th of September, Japan from Suzuka on the 7th of October, and then we head over to the United States Grand Prix of the 21st of October, and then down to Mexico on the 28th of October, followed by Brazil on the 11th of November, and finally finishing out the season in Abu Dhabi on the 25th of November. So that's your race calendar. It's one race longer. Of course, you'll see the inclusion of France there again. It's been a while since there's been a race in France, so it'll be nice to get back to France for that Grand Prix. However, let's turn our attention to next week, the season opener in the Melbourne Albert Park circuit. It's a lovely circuit and a great place to open the season. It hosted its first Grand Prix back in 1996. The race will consist of 58 laps. The circuit length is about 5.3 kilometres, giving a total race distance of 307.5 kilometres. And the current lap record is held by one Michael Schumacher from 2004, which is at a time of 1:24.125. So it's a great track, goes around Albert Park. Very similar to the Canadian Grand Prix in terms of its layout and its look. It's got two DRS activation zones, one along the pit straight and one just after turn two, between turns two and turns three. There is overtaking opportunities here. It's a relatively flat circuit. There's not much elevation change. And it should prove to be a very exciting race. So qualifying will be at on Saturday, with the race, of course, on Sunday. I think it's an early start if you're over here in the UK. I think the race is actually on at about 6:10 in the morning is the actual race start. So if you're like me, if you're an early riser, then you shouldn't have any problems. So that's it. That's the upcoming season. I'm hoping it will be entertaining. I'm hoping it will be a bit closer. I'm hoping there'll be some more winners. I'd like to see Max Verstappen win some more races. Daniel Ricciardo, of course. I'd like to see Alonso get back up on the podium. If McLaren can sort out their reliability issues, I'm hoping that they can get back up, towards the top of the podium positions. So I'm hoping it will be an interesting season. I'm sure it will be. There'll be lots of talking points, and I'm looking forward to sharing all of those with you. So for now, thank you for listening. I'll be back at some point after the first race in Australia. And we'll go through everything that happened in Melbourne. Who were the winners? Who were the losers? What were the talking points? And I'll see you then.